We all have a choice whether or not we choose to accept whatever that challenge or whatever that obstacle in life is and choose to make the most of life regardless, or we can choose to make that our excuse.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Repurposed, a show dedicated to inspire you to live a life of purpose, intentionality, and of impact. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta of Teachus Financial Group. We are a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota, where we teach and inspire what we call true wealth. We believe that true wealth comes from impacting others, and we think that retirement can be the most purposeful and impactful season of a person's life. If you want more information on our firm, just check out our website, teachusfinancial.com. Well, on this week's episode of Repurposed, I'm bringing you a conversation with Chris Cook. Now, I'll just get right to the point. Chris was born with no arms and no legs, but believe it or not, that hasn't slowed him down a bit when it comes to life. He grew up on a farm in southern Canada where he helped out extensively as a kid on the farm. In fact, he still farms today. He's completed marathons, he travels the world to experience other cultures, and he loves to do motivational talks where he encourages people that if he can face life's challenges, anyone can. Here's my chat with Chris Cook.
I've always said, if you can't laugh at life, what can you laugh at? And that sort of motto was started right from day one. The day I was born, my grandma found out that I was, you know, born missing arms and legs. And she just jokingly said that my dad never finished anything he started. And
which, you know, is true for a lot of guys around the house and stuff. So
exactly. And that was just... it just really set the tone perfectly. It wasn't a reaction of, oh my goodness, what a tragedy, this is horrible, what are we going to do? It was, all right, it is what it is, we can't change it. Everything's going to be fine, and we're going to have some good laughs along the way. Yeah. And, you know, we joke around about that, you know, even to this day. Yeah. You know, my brother refers to me as his half-brother. when I'm flying, and I fly a lot, whether it be to go speak or just, you know, for travel.
Right.
You know, the person at the check-in counter will ask me if I need a seat further forward or if I need any help. And I'll just, you know, very deadpan say, well, as long as there's a lot of plenty of leg room, you know, whatever, wherever's fine. And I just have fun with it. And it puts people at ease, too, when you're, you know,
right,
taking life pretty,
well, I'm,
you know,
like I said, I'm sure, like, you probably have come across that your whole life where people really don't know how to react. You know, do you just pretend, you know, that everything is, quote, normal, or, you know what I mean? So I like that sense of humor aspect you take into things.
No, and I've had every single reaction you can think of.
Yeah.
There's some people who just, you know, go on about their business.
Yeah.
And I'm just like anybody else, and that's what I love that. That's perfect. You know, there's a lot of people who, you know, basically assume, all right, well, this guy's out on his own. So obviously he's capable, and I guess if he needs any help, he'll speak up.
Right.
And that's perfect. You know, and then there's others who, you know, they insist on helping out, and they want to carry the bag for me, or they want to help me up onto a bus or whatever. And I mean, I will politely, you know, say thank you, but, you know, I got it. You know, I guess I'd rather, well, sometimes I'll say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, you know, offend you. No, that's not.
Right.
I don't know why anybody would find that offensive. You know, people are just trying to help, be kind, and I would rather politely decline an offer of assistance than be in a situation where I need help.
Yeah.
And nobody to care. So.
Yeah. You said life was easy for two reasons. The first one was sense of humor. What was the second one?
The other one is, it's just been my normal my whole life.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially when I speak at schools, kids will ask me, you know, what does it feel like to not have any arms and legs? And I'll ask them, well, what does it feel like to have arms and legs?
Yeah.
So it feels pretty normal. And that's exactly what it's been for me. I just figured out how to do things the way I do it.
Yeah.
It does, you know, difficulty does arise when, you know, we live in a world that is made for primarily people that fall anywhere between 5.5 to 6 feet tall, and they have arms and legs and fingers and toes and knees and elbows. So something like a bank machine, to grab cash,
sure.
not the easiest thing to do. I've flagged down random strangers and asked them to help me out, and you know, knock on wood, it hasn't powerful yet.
Like, sir, can you take this money out of this machine for me? And they just run off. Yeah. Like, what do they do?
And kindly still give it back to me.
Right. You grew up on a farm in Canada, in Alberta. Is that correct?
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm from Canada, southern Alberta, about an hour south of Calgary. Wow. And my grandpa, he had a fairly big farm down in Clarsome, which is the town just south of where I grew up. And used to, you know, as a kid, as far back as I can remember, riding around on tractors and combines with him for hours. And then, you know, then you'd run the header for him. You'd, you know, sit on his lap and you'd steer. And then eventually he slides over the buddy seat as you get older and he yeah. lets you drive yourself for a while. And then eventually it's kind of like, all right, see you, Grandpa, I got this.
Yeah. So you said it was easy, you know, quote unquote, easy growing up. How did that happen when you're on a farm, which is so physically demanding?
Well, I mean, you know, I had a quad that I would ride around to get me from A to B a little easier.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, there's, you know, things like when you're farming in the morning, especially, you know, servicing combines in the morning, if I break down, you know, I'm not able to you know, climb up and crank right. wrenches like an able-bodied person can. So, you know, there is a need for some help in instances like that. And, you know, the guys that I farm with still to this day, you know, try and make sure that a case of beer shows up in the fridge from time to time as a thank you. and, you know, and try and pick up the slack,
sure.
you know, in other areas too. But, you know, great bunch of people. And yeah, especially nowadays. I remember when I was a kid, like to unload on a combine, it was a lever that was down kind of on the floor. And so just kind of figuring out a little system to be able to grab that and start unloading. But mm-hmm. now everything, hydrostatic transmission, you know, you don't need the clutch to get into gear. You don't really need brakes. It's just throttle forward, throttle back,
yeah.
All the buttons and everything I can get at, you know, mm-hmm. right on the on that console on the right hand side.
Sure.
So yeah, no, it works great, and I love farming. Yeah. And anybody who's in agriculture gets it. It's just something that's in your blood, it's in your system. But also I do like it for, you know, it's not a job that people expect a guy with an arms and legs to be doing. So I do kind of like that wow factor as well.
Sure. Yeah, I totally get it. We talk about purpose on this podcast a lot. We want to inspire people to live a life of purpose. If I asked you, Chris, what is your purpose? Could you answer that?
Yeah, I came across a quote a little while ago, and it was, what if our purpose in life is to have fun and enjoy it? And I think a lot of people get caught up in trying to define what their purpose is, and they step outside of what their truth really is. And I think it's simple, you know, enjoy life and have fun. And I guess for me specifically, you know, I have a very unique opportunity, and I consider it a blessing too,
yeah.
to, you know, in doing what I'm doing, whether it be farming, traveling around, you know, sharing my story at conferences and schools, or doing things like, marathons or tower climbs for charity, you know, I have an opportunity to inspire and motivate people to maybe up their game a little bit.
Sure.
And I don't see that as a responsibility. I'm going out and I want to do that stuff for me. It's just happens to be, you know, a side, you know, effect of it all is I get to inspire and motivate people.
Yeah.
And, and I think you need to do things and not in a selfish way, but you need to do things for you. Because if you're not living your own truth, you're just going to be miserable and not enjoying life. And so, yeah, I guess long answer short, that's sort of my interpretation of that.
Yeah. You said you like farming, you love world travel. Like, what really, really just gets you like just jacked where you're like, man, if I could do that all the time, I would do that. What are you most passionate about?
I love getting on a plane. I love when I get to the airport and, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm going to, you know, a city in Saskatchewan that I've been to 30 times, or if I'm going to the other side of the world and to a country and a culture and a language that I'm completely unfamiliar with. I absolutely love it. I love the chaos of travel. I love not having an itinerary and just kind of seeing where life takes me and where the road takes me. I absolutely love that. I love people. I love interacting with people and seeing and sort of observing the different cultures and how they react to somebody like me.
Yeah. How do they react? How do they react in other countries?
I guess when I was in China, in places like Southeast Asia, you know, staring is not faux pas.
Right.
If you see something that you've never seen before, to stand and just look and stare for right. 20 minutes is absolutely acceptable. And, you know, that doesn't bother me. I read a book a little while ago that when we're traveling, you don't need to fine tune your sense of political correctness. You need to fine tune your sense of humor. People aren't trying to be offensive. Right. People aren't trying to be rude. It's just their norm. And you just kind of go along with it and you have fun with it. And, 99.9% of the people I've ever encountered are anywhere from just average or good to absolutely incredible.
Sure.
Very, very, very few negative interactions have come my way. And even those, I try not to give them too much weight. I think we give too much weight to that one negative thing that happens yep. in a day. Mm-hmm. And, great example is the news. If there's a plane crash, it's all over the news.
Right.
But when you watch the news last night or the news this morning, there wasn't a mention that 102,000 planes safely landed yesterday.
Right.
If you apply that to your own life, we can have 100 interactions in a day. 99 of them are anywhere from average to incredible. And you have one person that cuts you off on the way to work or doesn't hold the door open for you or says something that kind of ticks you off. And you let that, rule the other 99 that were, pretty good. So mm-hmm.
That's good. That's good. Do you ever play what if in your mind? I know you've been asked that question before, but like you go there in your head often. Did you do it more as a child than what you do as an adult? How do you kind of navigate through those thoughts through your life?
Yeah, it's human nature. What if?
Yeah.
What if? What if? When I was a kid, and even to this day, you're having a bad day, and you think, if I had arms and legs, life would be a lot easier. But the fact of the matter is, when you are having one of those days and you start playing what ifs, the what ifs really wouldn't be any different if you had more money, if you had, or if I had arms and legs, or
right.
if, it's that six inches of space between the ears. That's what's getting in the way on that particular day.
Yeah.
But you can't just accept that you're having a bad day and you need to kind of just get right in your own mind with whatever's going on. You have to blame it on something. So you blame it on lack of funds. You blame it on lack of arms and legs or whatever.
Yeah.
And, when I am having a bad day, it has nothing to do with the fact that I'm missing arms and legs. And when I want to come outside of a funk or get outside of a funk, I concentrate on the good, the positives. I have a job that I love, two jobs that I love, farming and speaking. And I have amazing family, tremendous friends. I have two little nephews and a niece that I absolutely love to death. When I concentrate on that, it makes the fact that I'm missing arms and legs absolutely moot, absolutely secondary.
Yeah.
And, and then that what if I had arms and legs, would life really be better? Probably not. I mean, you never know the answer to that for sure.
Right.
But I might have been born with arms and legs. And just kind of taking it for granted and sort of just kind of bounced around through life, living an average life. Whereas having been born without arms and legs, it provided some amazing opportunities. I've traveled to some pretty amazing places.
Yeah.
And, just kind of, I've wanted to get out there and accomplish as much as I could to prove to myself what I'm capable of doing despite missing arms and legs.
You used the word blessing just a couple of minutes ago. Do you look at your life and your situation as a blessing, as a real positive? Can you go there in your head?
Absolutely. Huh. Absolutely. It is.
Yeah.
I've done some pretty cool things and been to some amazing places and I've met some incredible people and people's generosity everywhere I've gone has been absolutely amazing. And, when you go through life with a smile on your face, it brings in a lot of positive. And, you know, I've seen people who are, you know, in situations similar to me, and, you know, they're, I feel just by the look on their face, they haven't quite come to terms, and to an acceptance of, you know, the pun intended hand that they've been dealt.
Right.
And, you know, this, I don't see this often, thankfully, but they look miserable. They look defeated.
Oh.
They look like they're ashamed of themselves. And unfortunately with that negative air, that negative space that surrounds them, that's going to kind of attract more negativity.
Hmm.
You get a life what you put into it. You put out positivity, you put out happiness, you put out love, you put out generosity. You're going to get that in return.
Yeah.
And, you know, something as simple as just a smile on your face can really, really change your day and the day of people around you and what you invite back into your own life.
Yeah. What's your message? You get a chance to go and speak all over the world. You do a lot of stuff with high school kids. What's your main message when you talk with folks in a group setting?
Yeah, the theme or the motto of what I speak to is if I can. You know, if a guy with arms and legs can snowboard, surf, work on the farm, travel the world, or even live a happy, completely independent life. You know, yeah. If I'm able to do that, you know, anybody's capable of absolutely anything. And it goes back to, you know, it's a mindset. It's that 6 inches of space between the ears. And, you know, I fully recognize we all have our own story. We all have our own challenges. We all have our own obstacles in life. And so to compare mine to others is not fair.
Yeah.
And for others to compare theirs to mine, also not fair. Where the similarity does lie, though, is we all have a choice whether or not we choose to accept whatever that challenge or whatever that obstacle is in life is and choose to make the most of life regardless, or we can choose to make that our excuse.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I could have said, yeah, I was born without arms and legs. I didn't ask for this. This sucks. Why me? I'm just going to sit at home and live off the government. And, you know, there's some people that might say, well, could you blame them? But I have this fear of missing out, FOMO, I guess. There's so much out there to see and do. I don't want to sit at home and feel sorry for myself.
Yeah.
And even, you know, right now, there's about a foot and a half of snow everywhere. And it does make life a lot more difficult to get around. And you know, I find myself frustrated. You know, I wish it would be easier to get around, but you know what, just get out there and get past that, you know, difficult part and get somewhere where it's easier for me to get around and get out there and enjoy.
Yeah.
And so it's all a mental thing.
Do you see kids able to grasp a hold of that mentality issue more than adults or vice versa?
I guess it's all in how you deliver the message.
Yeah.
Especially when you're talking to younger kids, you know, it's more just showing them what you can do instead of, you know, really talking about the message in it on a deeper level.
Right.
But you know, that's the most fun age to reach is that sort of junior high into high school, because that's really when they're shaping their minds and their attitudes and their future. But you know, it's also fun to reach an older crowd. You know, you have this, there's the saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Yeah.
But, I think when you have fun with sharing the message and keep it light and keep it funny, you reach a lot more people than you realize. And maybe it's not hitting them right at that moment. Maybe it'll hit them later that night, or maybe a couple days from when they hear you, or maybe it's a couple of years afterwards. But I think, you know, I think as long as I can keep it fun and funny and light, you get through, I think, you get through to more people than you would otherwise.
Yeah. I think that, I think you're right. Some of like the older folks can get set in their ways. I'm a little older than you. I'm almost 40. But I find it more difficult to kind of change that staunchy attitude, because that's basically what you're talking about, and it's something that is very applicable every day to say, you know, I'm stuck in traffic, so be it. I'm going to make the best of it. I'm not going to let it wreck my day, and it sure as heck could be a lot worse. And really, at the end of the day, it's me that's the issue. It's my own thought on this, not the fact that I'm stuck at a red light, which I think is a phenomenal, is a great, great message. Before I let you go here, the question I always ask our interviewees on this show, I'm going to end with this one. I'll ask you the same thing. What is something that we could do, something I could do, we as listeners, something very tangible, practical, that we could almost even start doing immediately to have more impact on people in the world around us? What could that be?
Smile more. Engage people more. When you're stuck in traffic, look over to the person to your left or the person to your right, give them a smile and a wave. Maybe you've made the decision that day to not let the fact that you've been stuck in traffic for an hour absolutely ruin the day. You ruin your day, but the person next to you is absolutely going bonkers.
Sure.
And you smile and you wave to them. Hey, it might not faze them, or it might just be that thing that they needed. Mm. And we're on trains and we're on buses and we're on planes and we're in waiting rooms and we're in, walking down the street and we have our head down, buried in our phones, head down, buried in our own lives.
Yeah.
And we don't engage the people around us. When I travel around, whether it be the other side of the world or just, boarding down to the grocery store to grab a couple things, I try and smile and say hello to as many people as I possibly can.
Sure.
And, I see a lot of great in return just by doing something that simple.
Yeah.
And, people have it in their head that, in order to make a difference, we have to do something that will change the world, that will just the biggest thing.
Yeah.
The tiny little things, just plug away bit by bit. And with something as simple as a smile or a how you doing today or the great, nice shoes, nice whatever. They're wearing you're down in Minnesota, so they're wearing a Minnesota Wild jersey.
Sure.
Bond on that, something.
Exactly,
anything.
Exactly.
Sitting in a restaurant, geez, what you're eating looks good. What is that? instead of just being buried in your own life and plugging away bit by bit. I think if everybody did a little bit of that, it would make a huge difference.
Yeah. No, I love it. I think that's great stuff. Very practical advice, which I think is really, really cool. By the way, do you think I have a weird accent? Can you hear my Minnesota accent?
No, I don't.
Okay.
And you probably don't hear a very Canadian accent.
Oh yeah.
I don't say A and about and host and stuff like that as much as others do.
You've got a great story, and I love the fact that you've taken such a positive spin on this. Did they give you? I just got to go there, and this is probably going to sound off color to a lot of folks. But did they give you half price when you buy shoes?
No, I was at a shoe store with my my sister-in-law, and I went and grabbed these thigh-high boots. And suede. And I went up to the counter and I asked the guy behind the counter if they had them in my size. And again, deadpan face.
Yeah.
And he said, and he was just dumbfounded. He didn't know what to say.
Right.
He didn't want to hear anything like that. And then I kind of flashed a cheeky grin and then he had a pretty good chuckle. The other day it was 50% off something.
Yeah.
Well, I said, there's half of me missing and it's 50% off. I said, do I get
a quarter,
25% off or 75% off or whatever? But yeah,
that makes sense. That makes sense. Before I let you go, where can people find you and your website and maybe even you on social media?
Yeah. Ificam.ca is my website and all my links to social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram are all on there. But yeah, it's all a variation of Chris Cook, KOCH, if I can. And that's where you can find me.
I got it. Ificam.ca. I'll put the link in the show notes below. So if you're listening to this on a device or something, go to the description and you'll see it in there as well. Chris, thanks so much. Keep up the great work. Love the attitude. You are definitely an inspiration and changing people's lives, which is what we're a big fan of. So keep up the great work and great stuff today on the podcast. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much, Jared.
I sure hope you enjoyed this conversation with Chris Cook. I love what he said about negative thinking. He said, I think we give way too much, you know, emphasis to the one negative thing that happens in our day compared to the 99 good things. He said, chances are if I'm having a bad day, it's not because I don't have arms and legs. It has to do with my mindset. We can either choose to accept those challenges in life or make the most of it. Well, I want to thank you for listening to this episode of Repurpose. Just a reminder, this show is based on a book by Ben Tages called Repurpose, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters of that book, totally free, just go to our website, tagesfinancial.com, and click on Heard Us on the Radio for your free gift. Also, a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We'll see you next time on Repurposed.